Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another episode of Source Material. Tonight is Back to the Future issues 3 and 4. Get to talk to my good buddy Ronnie Adams, and we close out our coverage of the first four issues of the Back to the Future series from IDW. Join us in our last blast of the past and the future as we talk Back to the Future issues 3 and 4. On with the show. As long as you got it right there, that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start with
that's
issue.
That's weird. I don't know why I said that.
Issue 3. Again, it's IDW. They're doing they do two little stories in each issue, which is I kind of like that. But what I've started to find out about, what I've started to notice is that I like one story a lot more than I like the other story usually.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, that one's awesome. And this one's like, it's okay. So the first story in issue 3. In search of Calvin Marty Klein. This was a love story, sort of. Doc Brown's hanging out in his house. This is back in the, I think this is back in the 50s, late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, George McFly busts in. And from what I understand, George McFly and Lorraine were still dating, and they're both going to college. Or at least George is, I'm pretty sure. George McFly busts in, and he's really, you notice that he's got this, like, really authoritative manner about him. He's not the meek and mild George McFly that we were used to from the movies. And he busts in, and he's demanding that he speak to Calvin Marty Klein. Doc Brown's like, whoa, what's going on, what's going on? And it turns out, we find out that George is distraught, and he needs to talk to Marty because Lorraine is not paying attention to him anymore. She's ignoring him.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, maybe I got that backwards. I think he says that Lorraine is not interested in him anymore. And he's trying to figure out what it is, and he demands to speak to Marty right now. And Doc's like, "Whoa, okay, wait, well, hold on. Marty's away. Let me go see if I got something to fix this." Goes into his garage, messing around in there, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door. Opens up the door, and there's Lorraine, and she's demanding to speak to Marty. Doc's like, okay, well, you know, what's going on? Well, George is not paying attention to me, but I need to talk to Marty because maybe he can talk some sense into George, and we can get this figured out. Well, at this point in time, Doc's like, oh, wait a second.
He thought... He actually says heavy.
Yeah. He's thinking that he's going to have to now step in because the timeline is starting to fall apart. And, you know, here Lorraine and George are not getting along. What in the world is going on? So he starts devising a plan, trying to figure out how he can get these guys back together. He comes up with this plan where he's going to use a radio a la... I'm sorry, I know the movie is Roxanne.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, but I know he quotes... It's obviously the movie Roxanne is taking off of somebody else. What movie was that? Some other story where...
Cyrano.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, where, you know, he talks... Or he feeds that guy lines to kind of woo his love interest. There it is. So Doc would feed George some words in order to woo Lorraine and bring her back. Very similar to kind of what happened in the first movie where, you know, Marty did something similar where he told George what to write or what to say. While in the midst of this, though, Lorraine ends up coming because George and Lorraine have no idea they're both at the same freaking house. And Lorraine ends up walking over and finding Doc talking to George as they're going through this plan. And she busts in. And finally what Doc figures out is like, you know what? He ends up doing something silly happens. And they both Lorraine and George, even though they were, you know, kind of at odds with each other, they kind of start laughing. And they kind of laugh it off. And then they realize, you know, that they were meant to be together. Doc just kind of quaintly exits stage left because he realizes that there was no reason for him to get involved in the first place. Things weren't going as they were. People fight. People have arguments. It isn't the end of the world. There is our first story of issue 3. So it's, you know, there's just, like I said, there was no reason that he learns that there was, the timeline was fine. There was no reason to meddle within that. All right. What do you think of that story? Yay, nay, indifferent.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of cool to see, It's kind of fun to see those in between, you know, or flashback kind of stories. You know, Doc's telling his kids with his wife.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't bad, you know. It's one of those you kind of expect from something like this. You uh-huh. know what I mean? You gotta come up with a story somewhere. So you can't mess with the timeline. So you know what do you do?
Uh-huh. Story number two, Ronnie. You ready?
I'm ready.
Now this one packs a punch. This is one of this is the one that I liked. I was okay with the first one, and then the second one, I'm like, oh, here we go. Maybe it's because, surely it's because I'm such a fan of time travel that if the story involves time travel, okay, yeah, I'm ready to rock and roll. Old Biff from 2015, and I said this, I think, on one of our previous episodes about these books. Maybe it was, you know, I think the first book or whatever. But, you know, Biff didn't, you know, he had the opportunity. He had that time machine. And you don't know for sure if old Biff from 2015 immediately went back to 1955. I remember specifically thinking that. I mean, he could have went anywhere else in time and then made his way back to 1955. We'll never know. Well, this story picks up right after old Biff leaves from 2015.
Yeah, yeah.
He hops in the time machine and goes back. He's got the almanac, ends up going back accidentally to the age of the dinosaurs. Now, as he's, I think he stops and he's trying to figure out how to power Mr. Fusion. And he's looking around, he looks up, and he can't find any fruit or anything to fill up the Mr. Fusion that he can get a hold of. And he's looking for, like, organics, I guess. He's looking for, like, fruit, or I have no idea. But anyway, he sees that high in the trees are a bunch of fruit, and he can't get to them. Well, a raptor, a velociraptor.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll just call it that. It's a small dinosaur.
Yeah.
Shows up and takes the almanac from Biff, reaches into the car, and takes off with it in his mouth. And it's so funny because, you know, Biff's, like, freaking out, proceeds to chase him.
In a flying car.
In a flying car. Catches up to him, and as he's hovering above the dinosaur, hits him on the head with the damn cane. A la Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
Drops the almanac. Biff picks it up. But what I, you know, as short as a story as this is, what I found interesting is the fact that he grabs the almanac, puts it back in the car, and then he's like, all right, now I know exactly where I need to go, such and such, 1955. And as the DeLorean speeds off, sticking out of the Mr. Fusion, you're going to have to help me with this one, Ronnie, but sticking out of the Mr. Fusion is the Velociraptor's tail.
Is that what it is?
That is, dude. That's the Velociraptor's tail. He He killed the dinosaur. He either killed the dinosaur or cut its tail off.
Oh, and shoved it in the... Yeah, I get it now.
I did not... at first, I was like, what is that sticking out of Mr. Fusion?
He shoved the dang raptor into the Mr. Fusion.
Yeah, I think he... the only thing I can think of is he cut its tail off somehow and then proceed to... And you don't see that. That's not disclosed. The only violence that you see toward this raptor is Biff hit...
Rap to the head.
But this is 60-year-old, 70-year-old, 80-year-old Biff. 78-year-old Biff just took down a raptor. And that's the end of... he proceeds to fly off into the time stream, and that's the end of issue two. Jurassic Biff. And it's so funny because Jurassic Biff, you got the raptor in there, and there's... Biff totally makes reference to Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, yeah.
Yep. So, good... I enjoyed the of the two stories. This was my favorite of the two.
It was the better of the two.
How?
It was stronger.
How?
It was just stronger. It was. I mean.
No, I mean, how did he kill the raptor?
Oh.
Yep. Okay.
With bad puns.
Oh, jeez. Our final page shows us an idea of what's going to happen next month. Back to the Future issue 4. By overwhelming demand, Back to the Future is now a monthly ongoing comic.
Huh. Overwhelming demand, huh?
Apparently so. Apparently, now I enjoy the book. Okay, I'm not sending emails to Bob Gale or Robert Zemeckis. Of course, the Zemeckis don't have anything to do with this. But I'm not sending emails or anything saying we need this to be, you know, continued and ongoing. What do you think of that, Ronnie? Do you think that's a good idea? I was all set for it to be a standalone or a standalone like 4-issue series, and then we were one and done. But now they're saying ongoing, so I'm trying to gauge whether I should be excited or not. What do you think?
I'm kind of done.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of one of those things where it would have been fun if it was a 4 or 5 issue. I mean, it has been fun for 4 issues, but. Uh-huh. Now that it's, I know it's going to be a monthly thing. I just don't have the strength to carry it on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. Like I said, it was fun, but now it's just kind of. I mean, I don't want to say it's old or anything, but it has run its course with me.
Do you think that additional entries into these books could weaken the canon? I guess I would say of Back to the Future.
Yes.
Okay. You want to explain, or
let's look at it in these terms. The I guess that's not really a good example, but
you want to say Star Wars?
Yeah, I was. I mean, there was a lot of crap to keep up with Star Wars in these books. You know, there's a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of people saying, "Well, that's part of the movie." Blah blah blah. That's part of canon. You know, you can't mess with that. Da da da. I think J.J. Abrams did a good thing by saying, nope, it's all scrapped. We're starting.
I want to stop you real quick because this occurred to me, and I know you was watching. You may have seen my Facebook post today because I mentioned you in one. But last night I watched The Force Awakens for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate the translator who helped me out with the Spanish translation of the scroll there at the beginning. But
we'll not say why you had that, but just know that you had that.
I won't say anything about. Oh man, it was so funny because Caleb's sitting there. He'd come in every once in a while, and he'd sit down and watch it, and he'd be like, "What is that big black thing on her head?" And I'm like, "Dude, that's somebody's head in front of the camera." And he's like, and what's funny is I had to explain that to him 3 or 4 times because all of a sudden they'd pop up. And you thought it was part of the movie. I'm like, what the heck's going on there? Then I'd figure it out, but Caleb had no idea.
Yeah.
He was like, what is that? What is that thing? It's like some scary, hairy, some hairy looking void. But, okay. Anyway, back to what I was talking about.
But to reiterate, I mean, I just think adding too much takes away.
Uh-huh. Canon. Let's talk about let's talk about canon real quick. What defines canon anyway? You know, I'm listening to these podcasts all day today. I haven't got to yours yet though, so just be patient. So I don't know what you guys said.
What the crap?
I know, man. It's on the list. I seriously have. I have 5 podcasts that I have that I want to listen to, each dealing with a review of some sort of The Force Awakens. Right now, I listened to iFanboys earlier this morning. I've got I'm making my way through Mark's, and the Radulich's are just about done. The Radulich and Broadcasting Network one is just about done with theirs. I think I have yours up next. I got Jordan's on there. There's probably about 5 or 6 that I need to listen to. But anyway,
you're not allowed to go to bed until you finish ours.
Tell me about canon. What defines canon? Just because somebody comes out with a new movie, that all of a sudden is that's the real thing? That is the correct universe? That is the one universe and the rest of the stuff doesn't matter?
Pretty much, yeah. Mainly because, God, oh, Lord, you asked this question. What defines canon? I think when you're continuing on a continuous story on, it's got to be something that makes sense. It's got to be something that helps the story along. I think if you get in too deep, then if you add too much, like I said, you're going to take away. I think.
Does some all-powerful being go and say, come over and say, yes, that is considered canon? So if you're somebody that gets to write a story about a specific part of the Star Wars universe. There's some kind of all supreme being that comes over and says, yes, that is your story is now canon.
Whoever owns it.
So it's all about who owns it.
whoever, you know, I mean, I was going to say the original writer, but we all know that Lucas, you know, he screwed the pooch on that by giving it away. Mm-hmm. So he has no say in it anymore. I think the people that have to, that say, you know, that they get to say whether it's canon or not are the, you know, the owners and who knows what's best for business, or not for business, but what's best for the story.
Okay.
And the ongoing, you know, where they can go from there. I say business, but I don't mean like money making, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, I want to know, I don't want to just, to continue it for continuance sake. I want to continue it, knowing that, it's going to be best for what I love, best for the story, but it's going to hold true to the original parts and add to it, not take it away. Okay. And not redefine the whole thing and say, oh, well, something as small as who shot first, Han or Greedo. Mess with canon, because that's not who Han Solo is. Han Solo was a smuggler. Han Solo was the anti-hero. I mean, he was Boba Fett before Boba Fett, you know, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But with a bigger heart, I guess you could say. You know, he was lawful evil, almost. Mm-hmm. But by changing that, you didn't add to the story. You took away. You took away from the character. And you took away from the experience that it first held. So making Luke get married and have you know, have a kid or whatever, it was cool to read that stuff, and it still is kind of. But I don't know, you know, if it helped the storyline at all.
So it is the decision of what continues the story.
Right. Do I consider what's going on right now with these comic books canon in the Back to the Future series? Absolutely not.
You do not?
No, not at all.
I took it as completely is.
Really?
Well, it's written by Bob Gale. I mean, or at least he has his name attached to this.
True.
And that is the creator. So my thought of these books were, these are actual parts of the history and how some events came to be in the Back to the Future universe. There hasn't been anything in here, would you say, that has been so off the wall and out of sight that it really conflicted with what occurred in the movies? Is there anything?
I don't, I'll be honest with you. I know you like the story, but I don't like the fact that they think that Doc Brown worked for the Manhattan Project or was considered. I mean, what does that add to it? Not a dang thing.
You don't think it adds anything to it?
No.
Well, what else? I mean, we've only seen, honestly, how many hours or days or weeks of these guys' lives have we ever seen on film?
Right.
I'd like to know more about what happened in that. So you're saying you don't think these would be canon?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, all right. And bringing it back to these books, just like you were doing here, I mean, I was sitting there thinking about the Back to the Future animated series. Do you remember watching that at all when you was a kid?
Yes.
Okay, do you remember, I mean, that focused mainly on the two kids going mm-hmm. around and doing, now, I was sitting here thinking, well, why, what makes that canon or not canon? Is it the reader, or is it the owner? And I think you've cleared that up. I think most of what we have to consider canon is the owner.
Right.
Continuing on with the story in some way. But, I mean, you know, now that Disney owns Lucasfilm and Star Wars, I mean, you just can't write off the prequels, right?
No. The prequels, I mean, as much as I don't want them to be,
we're talking episode 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. 1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3.
Menace and all that.
So it almost kind of goes against the whole argument of the owner, because those three movies are considered canon.
Right.
Because I guess they're movies. I should have done a little bit more research on canon and how it's figured out before I got into this. But it occurred to me today that it's just so strange for a property such as Star Wars, and I heard you always hear the word canon all the time when somebody's mentioning, if somebody's familiar with the books or the comics and the movies.
I don't get me wrong, I love the books and the comics and movies, but do you consider The Force, not The Force Awakens, but
no, I think that's totally out of the realm. I have
no. The video games, are those canon? No, they're not. Were the books canon at one point? Yes, before there was ever another, you know, movie put out. I guess What leads to canon is the original format of the story. You know what I mean? If there is no way that you can continue on with the original format of the story, you know, like movies, books can be considered canon.
Uh-huh.
But that was taken away. We'll take Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They did not finish, or the show got canceled. They finished it up.
In comics, right?
But then they went back and did an extra season in comics.
Uh-huh.
Who did that? Joss Whedon did that.
Oh, so
nobody else.
Him being the creator, that's... So that's...
He was the creator. And there was no way that a new Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie or TV show was coming out. There's okay. no way.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look at another Joss Whedon creation, Firefly. So they created a book, a movie. And that was Serenity.
Uh-huh.
Serenity is considered canon because Joss Whedon made it. He wrote it, and that was his finalization. That was his closure to Firefly, and that's canon. You know, if you've never seen it, there's some important characters that you know, some things that happened to some important characters in there that, you know, some of it broke some people's hearts and things like that. But that's canon.
Okay.
You know.
Joss Whedon, 10 years on down the road,
mm-hmm.
says to a few of his friends, there's some more stories to be told
mm-hmm.
in Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
Proceeds to bring forth comic books such as this right here.
Okay.
Where we're getting two stories of tiny little things in between. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Something similar to the format we have here now. I mean, does that change your mind as to whether it's canon or not just because of the way it's written
No.
and what kind of goofy stuff it is?
No.
Why? That's because it's Joss Whedon.
No, so. No, it does not consider, I wouldn't consider it canon.
Because he's, Joss Whedon's telling these stories?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. now you got me backpedaling and I don't like it.
He doesn't like it.
I don't like it.
Well.
Let me put it this way. Joss Whedon as a director and writer, I don't think he would do that. But just because I don't know. I just don't think he would do that. He allows other stories to be written, like the Angel comic book series and the Angel and Faith comic book series and stuff like that. But I don't know if that's considered canon in that realm.
Okay.
Because I'm not horribly familiar with those stories, you know. I watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and yes, judge me if you will, I enjoyed Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Loved it myself. I'm right there with you.
But I guess it takes a creator or it takes the owner to say, yes, this is canon. Have they said that about these comic books for Back to the Future, to our knowledge? I mean, I really don't know. Have they said, yes, this is canon?
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and post the question out here on Facebook land. You know, nobody that's listening to this is going to have a chance to answer it, folks. Well, actually, you probably could if you want to chime in. This is being posted on January 30th, 2016. So if you want to go back into the archives and look on my Facebook, you can find this questionnaire. You're more than welcome to punch in what you think. But we'll go ahead and post it to our, you know, to our friends, Ronnie. I'll tag you in it and we'll see.
Okay.
How do you want me to write this question? I put, what defines, that does not sound like, that doesn't make sense.
What defines canon in a story?
Okay. Or is it who defines canon?
Yeah, who defines canon?
Okay.
Would you consider, before the whole Secret Wars thing and all that, before they introduced Coulson and all this, would you consider the first Avengers movie canon?
The first Avengers movie canon?
Yes. Was it canon?
It has to be. I mean, right?
There was, I mean, the Chitauri were never mentioned in the, you know, in the first original formation of the Avengers. Captain America wasn't an original Avenger.
That's true. So I guess it's all about it's got to be about the genre?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the movie genre.
Maybe it's a genre thing, you know?
Okay. So we'll put in here, who or what defines canon for a franchise. Does that sound right?
That sounds perfect.
Okay. So, you answered that you believe it could, you believe it's not canon. We've established that. And I think you kind of indicated that you feel that continuing this as an ongoing series would be kind of damaging to the lore of Back to the Future. But here's the thing. I guess if you don't consider these stories canon in any way, then it's not going to...
Would you... let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Canon being what it is and all that, would you consider old Biff fighting a raptor?
I'm not gonna see it in the movies and believe it. I'll tell you that right now.
Does that add to, take away, or is it kind of a throwaway?
It's something that happened in between, and as it could it add? And obviously, it doesn't add anything to the story. I mean, I'm not feeling anything. I'll tell you what I took away from the story. Old Biff's a badass. All right? Old Biff is clearly a badass. Yeah, he clearly fought and beat a raptor, okay? Now, if I'm supposed to sit here and tell you that I would believe that would happen, I could tell you that that's not the case. However, if they're telling this story, I believe that they intend for this to be stories that were told to, you know, to tell kind of what happened in between and what happened after these events and back in the movies. So does it add? I don't know if it adds, but I could see them like coming back to it like at some point in the future. Like some guy writing a story and say, well, yeah, old Biff, you ever hear that story about how he killed a raptor? Because he's told all his sons. And I mean, you're right. They do feel throwaway. I mean, the whole love story me and you just, you know, were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, there's a lesson. There's a lesson to be told there. Okay. I get that. But going into this, I was thinking, well, all these stories, and I think that might be why I feel kind of more betrayed about the fact that they're going to an ongoing. You think I would be excited. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not at all.
Yeah, I thought that I would be excited because we're going to an ongoing, we're going to get more Back to the Future. But in reality, because I am taking these things as canon, I am really afraid that they could tell some crazy, crazy stories that could potentially ruin the franchise. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That could potentially happen. Something could happen, and some writer's going to get their hands on it and want to tell a story about, you know, something that is just, you know, should not be anything like the character. Now, we almost get that with Biff beating up a raptor.
Yeah.
Okay?
That is not old Biff.
However, I mean, we get the callbacks from the movies. We get the cane on the head, and, you know, it's a silly story. Now, imagine somebody getting a hold of the property and telling a story that, you know, has nothing to do, or they portray the characters in no way that resembles any of the characters that are part of that franchise. So in other words, we got Marty grabbing a machine gun, going around killing people. That's not going, if somebody did that, there's a possibility that could happen. I hope not. I hope, but the longer something occurs, like the longer this series goes on, the more likelihood somebody's going to get a hold of it and potentially not know what to do with these characters.
Exactly. That's, you see it in comic books all the time.
That's what I'm afraid of here. When I heard that these stories were just going to be one and done, okay, we're going to do 3-4 issues, I was like, oh, sweet. These are going to tell the stories in between, mm-hmm. you know, in between, and we're going to kind of know, just get some fun stories out of this. Because really, there should be only a few stories that Bob Gale has probably even came up with. I'm sure he's got a team of writers that he's relying on, and he kind of looks it over and says, okay, yeah, yeah, or nay. Now we're going to be pushing the envelope a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. I think we go a little bit further, continue to take the story a little bit further, and we can run into some potential problems.
And fighting a raptor is completely out of this character for me anyway. He's a bully.
Yeah.
He's a coward.
Well, he's an idiot, too.
He's an idiot. He's not going to realize it.
He's an overbearing idiot.
He's not going to know how to fly the DeLorean.
Going back to Jurassic Park, Dennis Nedry, I think is his name. Was that his name?
Yeah.
Okay. He gets in a Jeep, and one of the Dilophosaurus or whatever it was that was in the Jeep, he was trying to play fetch with it. Okay.
Right.
Point being, there are apparently stupid people that we could believe that might think they could beat up a dinosaur, or, you know, not have any clues to what a dinosaur could do. Granted, Biff did see the movie Jurassic Park, according to the comic. I don't know. I give Biff a pass on that.
No! We're arguing the fact that a fictional character, would he actually fight a raptor or not?
We should move on. We should.
No, this is fun. No. Yeah, let's move on. I'm just saying that he's a bully. He's a coward. I don't think he would fight a rat.
At 80 years old, I don't know. I mean, if you take a look, I want you to take a look at the pose that, if you can. I don't know if you got the comic in front of you or not, but when Biff shows up and the raptor's looking at him.
Total kung fu pose.
There you go, sir. Thank you very much. You have no idea what this man has gone through, and he may have taken some courses. He may have got a green belt.
No! That doesn't add... That just makes me fearful that they're going to say that.
Issue 10. The story of the Kung Fu Pose. Oh, man.
Tannen goes... Oh,
yep. You never know. He might have punched in and...
They're going to write in...
Bruce Lee. He might have trained under Bruce Lee.
I was going to say they're going to write in Bruce Leroy and Shownuff and have Biff get the glow.
Shownuff. That sounds familiar.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, it's you. Show enough on Twitter, folks.
That's where I came up with that Twitter.
Seriously?
That's one of my favorite movies, man.
Oh, wow, dude. Well, maybe I'll have to watch that sometime. I know you're a big kung fu movie guy. You're going to have to share some with me sometime where I can actually... I mean, give me the good title so I can go in and...
A good friend of mine, though, he's into a lot of the samurai movies, too. Mm-hmm. And he's... schooled me on that stuff, man.
Did he really?
So yeah, I mean, like the silly kung fu movies that I mean, like martial arts movies, I enjoy, mm-hmm. but not silly, I should say, but you know the old school those I enjoy. But man, he's talking about, we're talking, you know, Seven Samurai and you know or you know just movies like that. He destroyed me on them.
Oh yeah, well, Rumble in the Bronx is on Netflix, I believe.
Oh, dude.
Just let people know. Let's go ahead. We'll go into issue 4 here. And we'll wrap up our Back to the Future discussion. So issue 4, same format. Two-story format in the issue. Two different artists. And I got to say right off the bat here, the art wasn't horrible in the first story of issue 4.
Yeah.
But it wasn't great. I don't know. Let me see who did this. You know, you'd think I would have been smart and gave credits to everybody at the beginning, but I did not. Peer Pressure. This is Peer Pressure, this first story by John Barber and Bob Gale. Art by Ryan Brown. Peer Pressure. Pretty much the story's about Needles and him being a bully. Biff is George McFly's bully, and Needles is pretty much the bully of Marty McFly.
Mm-hmm.
We get a quick story, once again, about the interaction of Needles and Marty, and we also get to see the first meeting between Marty and his girlfriend Jennifer. Now, this takes place just shortly after Doc Brown gets the DeLorean. When I don't know if people remember issue 2, I think it was, where Doc Brown orders the DeLorean, or is getting ready to go get it. He called the paper. So anyway, he's got the DeLorean. He's done some modifications to it. Needles is kind of giving Marty some crap and kind of trying to move in on Jennifer at the same time. And so Marty feels this compelling that he needs to impress Jennifer in some way. So he knows that Doc's got the DeLorean, and he breaks into the lab at night when Doc's not there and is intent on going over to get the DeLorean, and he talks himself out of it pretty much. As soon as he gets in there, he realizes what he's doing wrong. He turns around to leave. Needles shows up, has full intent on taking the DeLorean. And lo and behold, Needles gets fooled by one of the Rube Goldberg machines in Doc's lab. Doc shows up. Marty confesses what he's about to do. That's about it. I mean, there isn't much else to say. Needles goes home with I don't know what the heck was in the bucket that gets plopped on his head. It looks like cow's blood or something. I don't know. But
I don't know.
It's all red. The only thing that this story serves to do is kind of give you an idea of how Jennifer and Marty meet, which I thought was pretty cool because originally Jennifer, one of the scenes, Jennifer shows up at a 7-Eleven while he's sitting there playing Wild Gunman.
Yeah.
And they make mention of the Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah.
And Doc talks Marty into going and asking her out, and he does, and they go watch, I think...
a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah, I think... if I'm looking at it right, I think it was... I'm going to read this to you, because it says Clint Eastwood, Sergio Leone, I guess, triple feature?
Oh, yeah, okay, I see it now.
Who's Sergio Leone? I've heard that name.
He's a director.
Is he the director of, like, yeah, Fistful of Dollars and stuff?
Yeah, the Man with No Name.
That's what it is then. So they went and watched that movie. Back to the Future 2 fans. Mm-hmm. Back to the Future 3 fans. So, very cool stuff.
And he did, Once Upon a Time in the West, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, a few dollars more, Fistful of Dollars. Those are the, you know, big Old West movies he did.
Okay. So, there we go. And that's kind of that's kind of the neat stuff out of the story. Like, again, it's just subtle nods to the movie. Again, another love story, sort of, and gives you maybe a little bit more depth on Needles and how much of a jerk he is. Anything else you take away from that particular story?
Nah.
Yeah. What's the stupidest thing you ever done to impress a girl? Folks, I sent Ronnie the question, so he's had time to think.
Oh, God. There's so many things. I read Twilight.
You read it?
I read the first book.
Wait. Okay, hold the phone. Documentary Diary number 1, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. We did a nice little...
I watched them, too.
Watched them? And you read the book?
I read the first one.
Wow.
You know, don't judge me and my life choices right now.
Well, I'll give you props for this. You only read the first one.
Oh, it was awful. It was just awful. In fact, it's sitting here on my bookshelf, and nobody... I've had friends over, they've seen my bookshelf and everything, and nobody has ever noticed that it's sitting here.
Oh, those people are taking pity on you, Ronnie. They know if they see that sitting there, they know you had to have got that to read it for a chick. That had to have been, I would hope that they understand. There's no way Ronnie Adams would read this willingly.
I even remember I walked right into Barnes & Noble and picked it up.
Oh, jeez.
And I didn't want to put it under my jacket or shirt for fear that they think I was stealing it. So I think I put a couple, like a book or two over top of it and then discarded those at the register.
Oh, okay.
And the person checked me out, just kind of looked at me. I said, you know what? It's for a girl. And they just kind of looked at me like, yeah, right. I was like, you know, I gave them the same look. Pretty much said what I said to you. Don't judge me. You know, it's just an awful, awful literary experience.
I don't know what's worse. I mean, Marty was thinking about stealing a car. You read Twilight.
Oh, reading Twilight is sounds worse. I should have stole a car.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Jail time. Ladies love the jail time.
At least I could have been like the hard cases.
Yeah. Well, okay, as for myself, now, see, I gave you time to think.
Yeah, what about you?
Oh, my gosh, this is freaking hilarious. See, a lot of what I do... I already know I'm a goof, okay? I already know I'm a goofball, and a lot of times when I'm with my wife, I'm a goofball. But maybe sometimes I do something, and I was kind of completely serious in the fact that I tried to do it, but then I get up and I laugh it off because, you know, I'm a goofball. Hey, I'm a goofball. Okay, yeah, that's why I did that. All right. We were married, and I was driving. I was driving somewhere in Marietta, and I pulled off the side of the road for something. I can't remember. We were in town, and it's pouring down the rain. And I got out of the car. I was doing something. I can't remember what I was doing. I don't know if we met somebody somewhere or what, but... I remember just having this brilliant idea. All right. Brilliant idea. My wife's sitting in the car and I'm on the passenger side of it and I'm going to walk around and get into the driver's side. So I think I got my wife in the car, shut the door, and I get this brilliant idea. I'm going to Dukes of Hazzard this car in the rain.
Jesse.
Yeah. So I take off running. All right. And now let me tell you. Okay.
I mean, you still got to impress your wife.
You got to. Yeah. You got to want to impress her with it. First off, if I pull this off, it's gonna look awesome. I would love to have been in her her seat to actually watch me do this. Okay. Now I'm taking things into account here. There's physics. that are involved. It's raining out. The car's hood is slick, so I should have no problem sliding on this car's hood sliding over to the other side.
I can almost see the math equations going through your skull, you know, or floating around your head like in The Hangover.
Oh.
When they take him into to play the play blackjack and all that.
It's that had to have been what it looked like. I'm sitting there looking it over. I'm like, oh yeah, I can do this. Now, Ronnie, if I was a smart man, I would have took probably about another 2 seconds to think about it.
and said no.
But instead, I take off running. All right, and I'm like, I'm gonna hit this car hood. I'm gonna slide across the car hood, and then boom, get on the other side and walk over the door. I make it a quarter across the car hood, at which point gravity takes effect and promptly dumps my butt right on the front of the car. I slide off the hood. I think a quarter of the way across the hood before all of a sudden I just slide completely down off the hood and land on my butt. And all Mindy sees is my head looking at her from the headlights. And I'm just sitting there. Soaked to the bone. I landed in a puddle. I get up.
Oh, you did.
I get up. I get in the car. And now here's the thing, Ronnie. If I could have just got up and walked home, I would have done that instead of having to get in the car and face my wife, who's sitting beside me, who just watched me do one of the most stupidest things I've ever done in my entire life that comes up to this day. But I had to get in the car to drive home and face the music. Ruined clothes. And she's sitting there looking at me like, what in the hell did you just try to do? 10 minutes of explanation. That comes up to this day, man. So there you go. It took me a while, but yeah, as soon as you said feats of strength, I was like, well, this wasn't a feat of strength in any way. man.
See, the thing about it is you know, I'm not for all the physical pain and embarrassment and at least you can laugh it off. I can't laugh off the fact that I read that terrible book.
Back to the book. First story, again, pretty much a love story, and talking about the mistakes that kids make in order to try and secure a loved one. Next story. I like this next story. Emmett Brown visits the future. Fun stuff here. Again, immediately taking off from the ending of Back to the Future 1, Doc Brown goes to 2015. And this story right here is great. I almost want to say, I don't know if this is my favorite, but it's going to probably be top three of the stories that I've read so far out of the eight that we've got. So Doc Brown goes to the future. He's pretty much living what Marty had to in Back to the Future 2, where he's looking at all the stuff that's neat in the future. And he ends up winning a classic car show with his DeLorean that showed up there, which is, you know, that's kind of goofy. But sure enough, there's Goldie Wilson III, I believe, who's able to give him a check for 10% off, or not a check, but a coupon for 10% off for a hover conversion for a car. And so Doc Brown's like, well, that'd be great. I need a flying car. So he's got to figure out a way to raise the money to get this hover conversion. We are also treated in this story how Doc Brown finds Mr. Fusion. That's something that he finds out, finds there in the future, and how he's going to use that to kind of supplement the electricals of the time machine. And then he gets this idea. He's got these silver dollars that he's kept. He goes to a store and he's like, well, surely these have increased in value. You know, it's 2015. So he goes to the store to pawn these silver dollars off, and he gets a little bit of money. And he clearly realizes that it's not going to be enough to, again, get this hover conversion or buy all this stuff that he needs. So he's trying to think of ways to try and make this money up. So he goes to a library, and they show him the internet, which, by the way, remember, he's from 1985. So he has no idea about the internet. And they sit him down at a computer, much like we see today. and he proceeds to, it's so cool because he's sitting there and he gets this, you know, he gets these wide eyes and he says, "Great Scott, so that's the single greatest investment in the history of man." He hops in the DeLorean and goes back to April 18th, 1938. I'm like, what is he doing? What does he do? He walks into this store and he buys something for a dollar. Like, what could this possibly be? Gets back into the DeLorean, and there sitting on the passenger side in the, on the floorboards are like 10 copies of Action Comics number one. That, to me, okay, I'm sorry, that spoke to me. Because I don't know how many times I fantasize, being the time travel geek nerd, whatever you want to say, I don't know how many times that I fantasize, man, what would I do? Oh, I know.
I'll go back and buy 10 copies of Action Comics.
If I ever get the chance, there's a time machine, I'm going to go back and buy, like, Action Comics number one. I'll be a rich man. Man, what just daydreaming, you know? And Doc Brown ends up living it and going and grabbing the copies, and then he turns around and sells one mint copy for $2.5 million. And he steps away with the money, and I think that's pretty much where it ends. But I mean, come on, man, that was it, to me, that right there was like probably one of the coolest things that you could actually put in a comic book.
Yeah.
And that's got to be like what any comic book, anybody who's, you know, a fan of time travel and a fan of comics, just the same. That thought has had to have come across their brains at some point in their life. And that's the end of the fourth. So as to whether, now here's what I thought was going to happen. And again, this might be something that they continue, but I haven't seen really, you know, any story that's been continued from issue to issue, as far as I know. I mean, we kind of get hints as to what happened. Like, I think at one point the whole Doc Brown burning his house down, I think, was continued in one issue to the next. But that's it. So I'm thinking that at first I was thinking that this story may be something that they continue, because what is Doc Brown always telling Marty about the future and Back to the Future 2? When he got the almanac, he continued to say,
don't screw with it.
Yeah, you can't use the time machine for financial gain. You can't do that. And here, in this particular instance, right after he drops Marty off from part one, he goes and does exactly that.
Exactly.
Now, if this is a throwaway story, I'm already going to be upset with the fact that it's going to be an ongoing, because they just, at the end of issue four, they just kind of went directly against what they've said in the movies.
Yeah.
Okay. But if this is a continuing story where they go into issue five and they kind of show the consequences of what Doc Brown has done, if that occurs, which I honestly, my honest opinion, I don't think they're going to. Of course, every single one of these issues, if you look down there at the bottom, it'll say to be continued in each story, especially in issue four. Each story, it says to be continued at the bottom. As whether they're just putting that on there to kind of make you be ready for the next issue or whatever, I don't know. Did you like that one, Ronnie?
Yes, I liked. It was smart. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. You know, it still showed the 2015 that they had in the movies. There's even a Ghostbusters reference.
Oh, there is?
There. Yeah. If you look at, if you go back to, I don't even know what page it is, but when he goes to the car show, 1980s Car Expo.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the Ninja Turtle, Kid in the Ninja Turtle, and the guy in the Thriller jacket, the little girl in Bush 84. Yep, right across there, guy with a proton pack on his back. But you've got, you know, the whole hover conversion, cars flew, commercials were on a 3D billboard, you had the hoverboards. I will just say this.
You say it.
The things that kids and adults are riding around and busting their tails on right now, those are not hoverboards.
The things that are catching fire?
Catching fire and killing people or whatever they're doing, those are not hoverboards. How dare you?
How dare you, people? Gosh.
If my hoverboard touches the ground, it's not a hoverboard.
There you go. That's
it's
right.
It's just a motorized couple of wheels. Shut up.
I just want to talk about, real quick, what next month is going to bring, which I am keeping this on the pull list. I know you wouldn't, Ronnie. But I know it doesn't sound like you're going to, but at this point in time, my plan is to stop coverage of the Back to the Future, because I didn't fully expect him to be an ongoing at any time. So it kind of took me by surprise, and I wasn't planning on this being an ongoing, and we're definitely not going to cover it as an ongoing. We'll just cover it, you know, maybe a year or so on down the road. We'll catch up with Doc Brown and all the fun things that's going on in these books. But issue 5, that cover looks insane.
Yeah.
We have, but just to let people know, the covers that they've been doing for these 4 issues are all references to the movies. As far as I know, every single one of these is a reference. Every picture that's on this cover is a reference to either Back to the Future 1, 2, or 3. Now, if this is going to be the cover for issue 5, which I assume that it is, we've got Doc Brown and Clara running for their lives on a horse from approximately, there has to be like 15 DeLoreans flying at them, which I really hope that we get this story. I'm definitely going to read here from issue 5 on. As a whole, we kind of, me and you already talked about in regards to canon, how you feel about it. You're not going to continue reading the series, you said, mm-mm, correct? Okay. And is it just because it feels throwaway? Is that where you're at?
Yeah, I mean, all the stories feel throwaway. It would have been fun if it were just a limited series, but right now it's just, it doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
Doesn't float my boat.
Okay, so let's go ahead. We'll get into a couple little questions because I know I sent you a few there, and I definitely, if you have the chance to think about them, I want to get your opinion. Since we're wrapping up our coverage of 4 issues of Back to the Future, all right, I'm going to ask you here, and I don't know if I've asked you this before or not. I don't know if I asked it on your podcast or if I even asked you ever at all. But have you ever given any thought as to, if you had a time machine, where in time you would go? First off, would you go forward or would you go backward?
Backward.
So you're heading back to when?
I'd like to go back to the Old West.
Yeah, I'll be right there with you. I think that's one of my favorite, if I had the chance to go back to, I would go back to someplace warm, okay? It'd have to be someplace warm and not too much inclement weather, and it would probably be the Old West. Because as lawless as it was, that's probably about the only concern you have. If you wouldn't have to worry about crazy, you know, trying to survive in the snow and stuff like that. But do you have a particular reason or any specific place you would go if you made it back that far?
Tombstone.
Tombstone?
Yeah. Or any city, town, place like that, because not just because of lawlessness or whatever, but just because of the action and the craziness that went on in these places. It was just a cool time period, and it's a cool you got to think of the things that went on and the fact that you could walk around carrying a gun on your hip and things like that. So
one of the things that would appeal to me would be just the peacefulness of it all.
Yeah.
I mean,
you went peace, I went gun.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, but when I say peacefulness, I don't mean like, you know, like a town like Tombstone or anything like that, but I'm talking about like, you live in an apartment complex?
I will go ahead and say this. I'm in transition between an apartment and...
Oh, okay.
I bought a house.
That's right. So, I mean, how far is your next neighbor?
In the house?
Yeah.
Right next door.
There you go. I mean, they're probably within about, I would say, 100, 200 feet from your house.
Oh, gosh, less than that.
Okay. You know, in the Old West, you have space.
Yeah.
And you have, the likelihood you may see somebody, it could be, you know, it could be 2 days apart if you're in the right spot and you got a house that's not, pretty far off the beaten path.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you had your land.
Mm-hmm. And a temperate climate would be nice. I mean, where you're just not having to worry about too much weather. And you can just sit down and look at the stars. It's probably the biggest challenge would be trying to find food. That's probably one of me all the hardest things.
Yeah.
And I'm not a hunter, so I'm definitely...
Yeah, raise them cattle and kill them.
I guess so. Well, some interesting conversations tonight, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for bringing up horrible things from my past.
Plug away, sir, whatever you want to plug.
You can catch me on the Screaming Boy podcast where we talk about anything movie related. My co-host Adam and I. Adam has not been on there for a while because, one, we had some technical difficulties and we were off for quite a bit. Number two, the biggest episode, well, not the biggest, but one of the my favorite episodes we just released, he did not get to see the movie before we did it, and we didn't want to ruin anything for him, was Star Wars The Force Awakens. So that was episode number 50. And then number 51 was the very first episode of The Documentary Diary starring one Jesse Starship.
Hey,
and we also have episode 2 out, and then I think episode 3 will be is already out as we're recording this, or should be out as we're recording this. We're getting into some Back to the Future time travel stuff. So we'll have all that stuff out, and we've got some other episodes out there. So please check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the Radio Lichen Broadcasting Network. Just search Screaming Boy. You can find us on Facebook. Once again, just search Screaming Boy on there. Twitter and podcast. Good Twitter old, and Periscope.
Good old podcast.
Good old podcast. Yeah. Twitter and Periscope. You can find us at Screaming Boy PR. Instagram, Screaming Boy Productions. And www.screamboy.com.
All right, folks, that brings us to the end of another episode of Source Material. Join us next week as we celebrate in synergistic fashion with the rest of the Radulichen Broadcasting Network the opening of the new Deadpool movie. Monday, February 15th, it's me, Jason Teasley, and we're welcoming back my good buddy Justin Thomas, and we're talking Deadpool versus Carnage. So feel free to join us there next week. I want to thank you again for joining us tonight. Don't forget to stay in touch with us at Stiznarchy on Twitter, at SourceMatCast on Twitter. Don't forget to like that Radulichen Broadcasting Facebook page. Stay up on top of all the great podcasts that are out there that we offer. Thank you very much. Have a good week.
All right, this is an oldie, but, well, it's an oldie where I come from.